This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown Mercer County. Touchdown Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
What a day weather-wise from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, the WRMJ Sportsline program, a tradition that started in 1979. Perfect weather conditions today for playoff football, also a cross-country sectional. Kids running up at Saukee Golf Course. That's hosted by Alleman, among the teams in the field. Of course, the Mercer County Golden Eagles, both the boys and the girls. But a beautiful day for playoff football. First Saturday of November. Of course, we'll be at Rockridge High School today for a 2 o'clock kickoff, 1 o'clock broadcast time, taking on Eastland Pearl City. Really, probably the best matchup of round one in 2A, and we'll get to that momentarily. But I guess we can begin, Ty Taylor, your first observation of eight-man football last night over at the Cambridge Bowl. Nice way to open up round one for Coach Elder and the Ridgewood Spartans.
It's fun. It was my first time seeing an eight-man game in person, and I think what everybody told me kind of rang true is that when you watch it, I mean, like two, three, four plays in the game, you forget that it's eight-man football and it just is a football game, right? I mean, the field's a little narrower. But it's still football and there's no difference really. I mean, again, it's just three offensive linemen. But you forget pretty quickly that you're watching just eight players on the field unless you sit there and count them each play. So I liked it. It's exciting with all the open space. I mean, it always feels like there are a lot of big run plays in the game. So, but Ridgewood, a nice win last night. I think 46-14 was the final over South Fork, the Ponies at the Cambridge Bowl. It was a nice performance by the Spartans. They struggled a little bit early in the first half, but then a kind of flurry at the end of the second quarter got them up 30-6 at halftime, and they were able to kind of cruise in the second half.
Yeah, they have like 10 million rushing yards this year. How many rushing yards did you say Ridgewood had going into last night's game?
3,076.
How many?
Nine-week regular season. They rushed for 261 more last night.
Yeah, I love the nickname, the Ponies. It was interesting. I forgot. I thought it was high-level John Hoshite broadcasting with our classic game of the week this week, the 94 state title game between Rockridge and Georgetown Ridge Farm. I forgot when I tuned in that the Georgetown Ridge Farm, their nickname was the Buffaloes. You don't hear that too often. All right, 7-2 Rockridge against 7-2 Eastland Pearl City this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Toss-up matchup, right? I mean, you look at kind of the schedule and the leagues these teams play in, and I think both teams needed a quality win on their schedule, and the Rockets got that late over Monmouth-Roseville, and I think Stockton was a big win for Eastland Pearl City. Their two losses to Power, Lena Winslow, and then Dupac, who's in the 3A playoffs, and of course the Rockets losing to Princeton, who won by a wide margin last night in round one of the 3A playoffs. The other loss to Sterling Newman Central Catholic in a game I think they really let slip away if you look at their schedule this year. You've talked to both coaches. I know Eastland Pearl City dealing with a little bit of injuries. late in the season, but it looks like they're at full strength today. So I'm just glad weather's not going to factor into the game today, because I think if you get a sloppy field, I think that would detract maybe a little bit from the Rock Ridge offensive style of play with their throwing game. So you've talked to Coach Jared McNutt. They have a great pedigree in, again, the conference, and their tradition includes a state title. And what this is the third meeting between these two teams in the postseason, and both teams have kind of wide margin victories in their victory over the other.
Well, I think I agree with what you said, that I think this is probably in the 2A field today the biggest game. Like, I think it's kind of the highlight because the teams feel so evenly matched. And I know last night Tri-Valley and Bloomington Central Catholic played. That is similar to this game, that Tri-Valley got that win. But it felt like that was a game between two teams from two good leagues. And that's definitely the case today with Rock Ridge and Eastland Pearl City. I mean, I think it's a real, real toss-up. Like you said, both conferences really strong. The Three Rivers very good this year. You saw Princeton destroy a big northern opponent yesterday in Oregon. And then obviously the NUIC, the pedigree that conference has is so strong year over year. And when you look at Eastland Pearl City, 7-2, like you said, their losses to DuPec and Lena Winslow. They hung around with Lena Winslow. I ended up kind of falling behind in the second half and losing 35-18. But they led DuPec at halftime 8-6 and then got outscored, I believe, 30-0 across the second half by DuPec. But one interesting thing about Eastland Pearl City, I think, in this matchup, and we talked with Kyle Campmeyer from NUICFootball.com, and also you're going to talk with Brian Roosh from WCCI up in Savannah that covers Eastland Pearl City. They haven't played a lot of teams that throw the ball very much. Basically, the two teams that throw it the most that they played were DuPec in Week 2 and Fulton back in Week 3. So they haven't had to defend a passing attack, a proficient one, I guess, in quite some time. So that's one thing for Rock Ridge that I like in the matchup, is obviously Schweigen is so good, and the receivers Rock Ridge has are really, really good too. So I'm hoping that's kind of the matchup that Rock Ridge is able to pick on, is on the outside with the passing, because I know Eastland Pearl City up front pretty big and pretty stout from what I've heard. And they got the one linebacker that has almost 130 tackles, Will Burchin, a junior. So I do think tonight or this afternoon should be a very competitive game. And like I said earlier, it feels like a true toss-up in round one, which is that's just what playoff game should be. And like the 8-9 game, two really evenly matched teams going at it today.
Yeah, again, broadcasting live from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. And I think when you talk about defending Rock Ridge, and a lot of it maybe has to do with personnel, but I don't know if you're preparing for them with what Schweigen has accomplished the last 2 years. I don't know what, because I'm not the coaching strategy expert. I don't know what Sterling Newman Central Catholic was doing the last two years defensively against Rock Ridge, but they've had the most success in limiting Rock Ridge in their offensive attack. And mind you, two seasons ago, Schweigen was making his first start as a freshman. But this year, I thought, you know, Rockets left some points on the board, I think, in the first half, but still limited that team to 7 points. So I don't know if that's something Eastland Pearl City looks at heading into to this game today at Rock Ridge. But field condition should be great. Wind is not going to be a factor today. And, you know, when we looked at earlier this week, I think that was a little bit of a concern because we were talking about 40-mile-per-hour winds, you know, Monday and Tuesday in this part of the state. But that is not going to be an issue. And I think about today, too, you know, Friday night games in 2A playoffs last night, I think somewhat of a surprise. Now, if you look at seeding, it's not. But I know a lot of people thought Bloomington Central Catholic was one of the favorites to get maybe to the semifinals. And they fall last night to Tri-Valley out of the heart of Illinois Conference, 42-28. Tri-Valley put 42 on the board. So that was an impressive win for them. You look at that Vermilion Valley Conference. We were talking about it last week on the playoff show, trying to figure out what is the strength of these conferences. A rough night last night for the Vermilion Valley Conference because Moments, they got drilled last night by Dwight Gardner South Wilmington Co-op, 41-13. I think Dwight team was were they 6-3 or 5-4?
6-3.
Yeah, they win 41-13. And then the other team out of that school or that conference, Oakwood, gave up 56 to Elmwood Brimfield last night, falling 56-26. So I think today, kind of an interesting game to follow in the 2A bracket is Erie Prophetstown today taking on the two-seed Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin, who is out of that Vermilion Valley Conference. So, again, that league did not fare very well last night. But then you look at the Chicagoland Prairie. That's where Seneca comes out of. They beat El Paso Gridley 39-23. EPG is out of the heart of Illinois Conference. And then, again, Dwight Gardner South Wilmington plays in that Chicago Prairie Conference with the win last night, 41-13 over Moments. The rest of the 2A bracket last night, Pena beat Shelbyville 21-18. It was Vandalia over Sagamon Valley 41-21. And we mentioned Bloomington Central Catholic. They fall last night 42-28. Couple of 1A games last night. Belleville Altoff put 60 on the board, 60-0 over Dupo. Leroy, an impressive start for them because had to play Aurora Christian last night. You never know about some of these non-boundary schools, but Leroy 54-21. They led big early. Ottawa Marquette over Rushville Industry 44-6, the final. I think Ottawa Marquette, right there in that Chicagoland Prairie conference.
Rushville Industry was 8-1 out of the Lincoln Land small division. They were the co-champions of Stark County and just got absolutely obliterated last night. So, and I know I talked about that on our broadcast. You don't really know conference-wise until you get to the playoffs, yep. And I think that's probably not a good sign for the rest of those teams because you look at who, you know, Stark County has to play, Galena out of the NUIC, Princeville has a tough test, and Stockton out of the NUIC, and then I know Anwan Weatherfield plays Rockford Lutheran out of the Big Northern Conference, so obviously those teams much better than the opponents that those Lincoln Trail teams have played all season, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how they stack up. And I think in 2A, I know Oakwood is not a very, you know, I don't think they were supposed to even get into the postseason this year, so Elmwood Brimfield gets a nice win over them out of the Lincoln Land Large School Division. But I've said this all year, I really don't know what to make of Farmington. They're 9-0, but again, that league is not very strong from top to bottom, so they play Deer Creek Mackinac today. That's the game that the Rock Ridge Eastland Pearl City player or winner plays into. So I'm interested to see if Farmington wins that game, what the margin is, because those Lincoln Land schools to me are kind of a wild card in terms of, I think their records probably, and we know this covering Mercer County, kind of inflated when you get to the postseason with the kind of weaker bottom half of that conference year in and year out. So I'm really going to be trying to monitor what Farmington does today.
Yeah, again, as you mentioned, Deer Creek Mackinac, they finished the year 5-4, and their losses to Eureka 47-0, lost to Tri-Valley 49-14, who was the winner over Central Catholic last night, a setback to Shelbyville 48-14, and then, let's see, yeah, three losses, Eureka, Tri-Valley, Shelbyville, and then they lose to El Paso Gridley in a close game, 19-14, so that's who the Farmers have. But that Heart of Illinois Conference, they got some good teams, no question about that. And then I think the other big story last night, did you tell me in playoff football, Rochester got beat in overtime in 4A playoffs?
Yeah, before we get to that, Princeton in 3A, 40-8 winners over Oregon, so that's the first track team that played. They were up 40-0 in that game in the fourth quarter last night. 3A Byron over Prairie Central 57-20, that was 57-8 at halftime. And also Williamsville and Eureka both got wins in the first round last night. You said it, though, in 4A, that would have been Rochester falling to Peoria, Notre Dame, 59-58, the final score.
Wow. And that was the game where Coach Leonard, Derek Leonard, the head coach of Rochester, was he suspended for
he
a
was
game
back.
In week nine? But it was
yes.
Week nine he was suspended.
Yep.
So kind of a strange finish for them in the 2024 campaign. So the keys today, what do you think? And we'll hear from both coaches in our pregame that starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon. But as you've done your homework this week, I think the big storyline early was what is the situation involving the Eastland Pearl City injuries heading into this game today?
Yeah, they're healthy and ready to go. Their quarterback, Adam Owender, missed one full game. He missed the second half of a game and then the first half of a game with a concussion. Is the injury he was dealing with. So he is back. He's more of a runner. They've only attempted 31 passes all season. Allender, the quarterback, 11 of 19, 149 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions passing. Rushing-wise, he's carried it 37 times for 453 yards and 11 touchdowns. And then Eastland Pearl City's top playmaker offensively is junior running back Draven Zier. He missed week 9 against Dakota. He's been dealing with kind of a leg injury. That was a game where, from my read, is that they held him out because Dakota's had a really challenging year where they were 0-8 coming into the game. So they didn't really need him. They were able to take care of business last week, 42-12 without him. He's back and ready to go. 113 carries, 886 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So I think the key for Rock Ridge defensively is limiting them on the ground. That's something the Rockets have been so strong in, you know, year over year, it feels like, is against the run. Eastland Pearl City runs mainly out of the I formation with the fullback Jackson Kemple, who's also carried the ball almost 100 times on the season for just under 400 yards and 7 touchdowns. So there's no real secret on what they're going to do. What they do, from what I've seen, is they kind of overload the left side of the line of scrimmage with, I think, maybe even two tight ends, and they just kind of run it that way over and over and over again. But Allender is a really dynamic quarterback that they run a lot of, like, double handoffs, or I should say a fake handoff, and then to the second back through, or they'll fake to both running backs and the quarterback keeps it. And then up front, they're pretty big and pretty strong, it looks like. Not really a surprise coming out of the Northwest Upstate Illini Conference. And then offensively for Rock Ridge, like I mentioned earlier, it feels like the matchup they would like is going to be on the outside, just because, I mean, Eastland Pearl City, very unproven in terms of pass defense. And the thing I saw about EPC, actually, that was interesting, they are 7-2, but total yards, they've been outgained by their opponents across the 9-week regular season, 2,202 total yards to 2,221. So Eastland Pearl City has given up 2,221 yards, so that's just a few more, obviously, basically right about even. But I think they're susceptible to giving up points and giving up yards defensively, and I really like Rock Ridge's offense with all the playmakers they have. We mentioned Schweigen earlier. I mean, over 2,300 all-purpose yards and 29 touchdowns as a sophomore playing quarterback. You know, the receivers, Steele and Wheatley, both have over 400 yards receiving. They got six guys with over 100 yards receiving, Rock Ridge does. And then three ball carriers with more than 500 yards on the season. So it's a really, you know, dynamic, balanced offense where Rock Ridge, as we know, can come at you in a lot of different ways offensively. And one thing I like about the Rockets, too, you know, so Coach Graves in his 9th season leading the Rockets, 74-24 overall. You know what his record in the first round of the playoffs is? He's never missed the playoffs as the head coach. This is his 9th year. So in 8 playoff games, what do you think is – in eight first-round games, what do you think his first-round record is?
Is it 7-1?
7-1, yep.
That's a pretty good run. And I look at, let's see, Lena Winslow gave up 30 to Forreston. They gave up 22 to Dupec, and then 18 to Eastland Pearl City. And I just look at the defensive numbers that Eastland Pearl City has allowed. 6 to Galena, 36 to Dupec, 22 to Fulton, 16 to Forreston, 8 to Stockton, 8 to Westmont, 35 to Lee Wynn, 14 to Morrison, and 12 to Dakota. Now, the interesting stat you gave up, though, because to me it's like old school football, because I don't think the 9 opponents that Rock Ridge have played have combined for that many fullback carries. How many carries did the fullback have at the Eastland Pearl City?
94. He runs, though, because sometimes they'll run out of the spread and shotgun, and then he's the tailback, and they split Zier out as a receiver. But yeah, 94 carries for the kid who mainly plays fullback.
Yeah, you don't get a look. That's one thing, you really don't get a look at that too much anymore, where the fullback runs directly out of the eye and gets maybe that many carries. Now, the other thing that I think always looms large, if it's an even game, special teams always, you know, we talk about the three phases. And now Rock Ridge, I think, has been very good on special teams. Now, Coach Graves, I know, a bit upset last week because they did give up a kickoff return. But I think, you know, the Dye kid, Tanner Dye, done a pretty good year, had a pretty good year punting when the Rockets have had a punt. And then their special teams unit on PATs, now they've been throwing that swinging gate out there a couple of times, normally on the first score. And I know they want to convert on that. They've struggled
with it.
They
tried it against Mercer County, yeah, and it did not
work.
Well,
they tried it last week against Hall Township, but it didn't work. But you know, the McKeag, Owen Steele, Bodie Morales rhythm has been really good this year, where you feel pretty good about you're going to get 7 on every score. And they haven't tried a lot of field goals this year, but I think if you get, you know, within the 20, in on a day like today where there's not a lot of wind. I think there's a good opportunity if it's a 4th and 9 or 4th and 8, you can say, well, let's try for 3 because Morales and this group, the long snapper McKeag and the holder Steele, have been pretty good at this.
Yeah, one of my pregame questions for Coach Graves today, which you'll hear on our pregame show later this coming up this afternoon, is I asked him about special teams because it feels like that's going to be a big thing in today's game because it's so evenly matched. And specifically, the question was more about, you know, converting after you score, because you mentioned Rock Ridge kicks the PAT with Bodie Morales. He's 37 of 41 on PATs this season. So out of those 41 touchdowns that they've went for just one, they've got the 7th point 37 times. Eastland Pearl City, they're 2 for 3 kicking PATs. They go for 2. So that's the big thing today, is if you can stop them on the 2-point try, you would think you're going to be forcing them to start chasing points, because I'm very confident in Morales. If, you know, PATs with the weather today, he should be good to go. And I think it's so big when you're able to convert on those, because in small school football, so often, and Coach Graves even says this, you see so many playoff games that end, you know, where the teams have scored the same amount of touchdowns, but it's the PAT that's the difference. So, you know, you'll see 13-12 games or 14-12, 14-13, 15-14, stuff like that, where it comes down a lot of the times to, can you convert after you score the touchdown and get the one or get the two? So I think today that's maybe the biggest story, because like we've touched on so much already this morning, this game feels like it will come down to a one-possession game, and those one or two extra points might be the difference, I think.
And then the winner of this game plays the winner of Farmington, Deer Creek, Mackinac, right?
Yeah, so if Rock Ridge were to win, they would be on the road no matter what, playing either at Farmington or at Deer Creek, Mackinac next weekend.
And you look at the rest of the Saturday playoff games today, in addition to the Farmington DMAC and Rock Ridge game with EPC, you have a 2 o'clock kickoff for Erie Prophetstown taking on Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin. And then the only other Saturday game today in the top half of the 2A bracket is Chicago Christian. They're hosting Illini West. And then a number of Saturday games in the bottom half, Johnston City hosting Redbud. You have Warrensburg Latham today. They're entertaining Carmi White County. And then also today, Moroa Forsyth, a 2 seed hosting 15 seed Decatur St. Teresa. 3 o'clock kickoff for the Yellow Jackets of Chester hosting Westville. So Westville this year, of course, last year in the north half, this year in the south half, the Rockets played them in the first round last year. Chester is hosting Westville. And then two other 2A games today, Quincy Notre Dame, of course, a heavy favorite to roll out of the south half. They're hosting the Flora Wolves today in a 2 o'clock kickoff down in Quincy. And then in honor of Terry Bewley, it's Arthur A. Lovington Atwood Hammond in a 1 o'clock kickoff hosting North Mac out of Verdon. That's the rest of the 2A games today.
I want to say something about Quincy Notre Dame, and I said this on our 8-man broadcast last night. So Sacred Heart Griffin in the 5A playoffs last night beat Muhammad Seymour 24-21. And Muhammad Seymour, I think, spent most of the season in the 5A top 10. And we know the program Sacred Heart Griffin is. Quincy Notre Dame beat Sacred Heart Griffin this year 37-7. Mm-hmm. And their only loss was to Quincy High School back in week one. So I think QND is a pretty heavy favorite in the 2A field. I'll be interested to see kind of how they are able to maneuver their way through the south half of the bracket. But quickly, also in terms of teams around the Three Rivers Athletic Conference playing today, one 1A representative, that's Newman Central Catholic. They play at 1 o'clock this afternoon against Hope Academy. That's hosted at Roscoe Eads Stadium. Hope Academy out of the city of Chicago, as you mentioned, in 2A. Obviously, Rock Ridge plays Eastland Pearl City at 2. Also, Erie Prophetstown at Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin. And then in the 3A field today at 4 o'clock, Monmouth Roseville at home against Paxton Buckley Loda. And in 4A today, Kewaunee makes, I saw, the 5th longest trip in the first round in the state to Richland County. That is a, let's see, what time do they kick off at? I think 2 o'clock this afternoon.
That's in 4A?
That's a 4A game, yeah. So 3 o'clock, excuse me, Kewaunee hosts Richland County at 3. And then last night, as we mentioned earlier, Princeton beat Oregon 40-8. So we'll see how the track teams fare in round one. I think it was a strong year in the league this year, and I'm kind of excited to see how everybody does in the playoffs. Yeah, and I like how spread out across four different classes, and nobody would run into each other until the quarterfinals at the earliest, the semifinals at the earliest, actually. When you look at 3A, that's when Monmouth, Roseville, and Princeton could potentially meet up if they both were to get that far, which will be tough to do, obviously. And then in 2A, Erie, Provincetown, and Rock Ridge are in separate sides of the North half, too.
So I know and you talked about it last week, but I think the interesting storyline with Kewaunee, that Richland County team was 0-9 last year, and they're 9-0 this year.
That's really bizarre.
Yeah, so, and I know they've won a number of close games. And then kind of the path for Sterling Newman Central Catholic is always interesting in 1A. So they host Hope Academy out of the city, and then they play, you know, if they would win, they play basically, you know, the division of, you know, the South and the North in 2A, with a number of those Chicago schools, you know, dropping down to 1A. So they would play then the winner of Gibson City, Melvin Sibley in Salt Fork.
Wow.
After playing a Chicago school. But the potential for a Sterling Newman Central Catholic, maybe Lee Wynn quarterfinal matchup. But then you look at a second round potential in 1A where Alina Winslow and Stockton could play. And they played, you mentioned, kind of a competitive game in the regular season.
I said, I don't think Stockton will have much trouble with Princeville today. And I would assume Lena Winslow will beat Clifton Central pretty easily as well. So, I think that'll be a matchup. That'll be interesting. And like I said, though, you know, the NUIC a strong league and the track a strong league, too, which is why I'm so excited for the Cecil and Pearl City Rock Ridge game. We've only got a couple minutes before we have to get to our couple of guests on Sportsline this morning. Again, that's Kyle Campmeyer with NUICfootball.com. And then Brian Roosh will join us a little later from WCCI. Both do a great job covering the Eastland Pearl City program. We'll kind of get a little bit of a scouting report from each of them on this matchup coming into the round one game between the Rockets and the Wildcats with a Z.
That's right. 44-21, EPC beat the Rockets in the 2014 matchup. And then Rock Ridge won. That was in the quarterfinals. And then in 2016, the Rockets won in round one, beating Eastland Pearl City 42-13.
Yeah, so one quick note about Eastland Pearl City that Coach McNutt told me. Now, one of their top players is an outside linebacker and tight end, Zy Haverland. His name is actually Zyason, spelled Z-Y-A.
Call him that on the broadcast, his full
name.
But
anyway, his older brother is the defensive coordinator for Eastland Pearl City, and he played in both Rock Ridge Eastland Pearl City games in 2014 and 2016.
Oh, wow.
The defensive coordinator did. So that's kind of a neat tie-in, I suppose, for the matchup today. So he would have been on the Eastland Pearl City team that won the state title back in 2014.
Well, and then he knows then all about this staff, and that's a concern to me then.
Yeah.
Because he's going against Sam Graves, who he's played against twice, and now he's going to coach a third matchup for him.
Yeah, I think both teams, I mean, even though it's been a while, know about each other with playing twice in the postseason in the span of, you know, 10 years, basically. So I've had so many people reach out to me, not just locally, but around the state, that are really going to be following this game today because of, like, everything we've talked about this morning so far, is just how even of a matchup it feels like, and how it's kind of strength versus strength. When you talk about the Eastland Pearl City I formation and running the ball and running the ball and running the ball, and Rock Ridge's great, you know, rushing defense with Landon Bull and McKeag and Jude Finch and all those guys. I mean, they do such a good job against the run. So I'm ready to go, man. I'm excited to see how this game plays out today.
All right, Ty and Monty Smith in the booth. I'll be on the sidelines. Going to be a banger of a game today in Lower Rock Island County. 1 o'clock broadcast for that. We're going to talk more about this matchup. You're listening to the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? If you need new footwear or it's the perfect gift for someone on your list, 614 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness: Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks. For just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock. And even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. The best gift of all is a 614 Run gift card. Never worry about getting the wrong shoe or style. 614 Run, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
And welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Joining us on the phone now is Kyle Kampmeyer from NUICFootball.com. He's helping us preview the Rock Ridge Eastland Pearl City first-round matchup coming up this afternoon. But before we get to that, Kyle, I saw you were in Byron last night taking in some playoff football. So you got postseason fever, it looks like, right?
Yeah, I didn't have anywhere else to really be. Could have went to a couple eight-man games, but figured those would be blowouts. I've never been to a Byron playoff football game, so wanted to make the trip over since they're playing on Friday night. And, yeah, they put on a show as expected in the first round.
All right, let's talk this Eastland Pearl City team. Can you give us kind of an overview of what their 2024 regular season looked like? I know a third-place finish in the NUIC and then a 7-2 record overall coming into the playoffs.
Yeah, so, I mean, you take a look at what they've done throughout the course of the season. They had a very good regular season, one bouncing back from a 3-6 season a year ago. So at the beginning of the year, they were one of the teams that we were pretty high on as being that team that could pull the trend off and get back into the playoffs. And week two, they suffered their first loss of the year to Dupac. They were actually up 8-6 at halftime in that game. Unfortunately, Dupac came out with some different adjustments that EPC could not handle in the second half, resulting in a 36-8 loss. After that, the Wildcats went on a roll. And in week seven, they met up with powerhouse Lena Winslow. And in that matchup, that was back and forth in the first half until their quarterback, Adam Allwender, went out with an injury and never returned. Ultimately, leading to that loss, 35-18. Taking a look, they're one of their biggest games after that was the Morris game where they won 18-14. Allwender was back in that game, but I think they did not have full health as Draven Zier, I believe, went down in that game. But looking forward to this matchup here today with Rock Ridge, EPC looks to be fully healthy.
Yeah, you mentioned both of their kind of key offensive guys, Adam Allwender, the quarterback, and then their lead running back, Draven Zier. And obviously, when you look at Eastland Pearl City, a heavy running attack, a lot of stuff out of I formation from what I've seen. So, and both Allwender and Zier look like pretty dynamic players to me. So from what you've seen and heard, I mean, those are kind of the guys that make things go for them on offense, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Zier is the leading rusher for the team, sitting at 886 yards entering today's game. And Allwender has 453 yards rushing, leads the team in touchdown runs as well. And then, you know, their fullback, Jackson Kempel, definitely gets in there. He's not at the yardage mark he was last season, but he definitely gets the tough yards that they need going up the middle. He has just shy of 400 yards going into today's game.
Well, yeah, and I know looking at kind of Eastland Pearl City, like their projected starters that Coach McNutt sent me and just at the roster, I mean, up front, it feels like they've really got some size, it looks like, and then kind of the tight end they run out there, I think Zy Haverland is his name, the big 6'5 body too. So, I mean, size-wise, Eastland Pearl City, they pretty big?
Yeah, no, they are one of the bigger lines that we've seen in the NUIC this year. Strength-wise, they're very strong, especially led by junior Will Burchin. On the defensive side, too, he is their leader on the defensive side, plays middle linebacker, will call out a lot of the defensive plays for them, make adjustments based on formations that are coming at them. Yeah, they definitely have a lot of size. Biggest kid is probably going to be Brody Vagley playing at tackle. But then they got Jared Runkle and Miles Friedland and Tegan Dyson all sitting up there too. So their line is going to average right around 210 to 220 pounds in size. So pretty good size line.
Yeah, you mentioned Will Burchin there, the NUIC's leading tackler at inside linebacker for the Wildcats. Definitely anchors that side of the ball for EPC. So just overall, when you look at kind of this Wildcats defense, how do you think they stack up on that side of the ball?
On the defensive side, their front four is hard to move. They got some big boys up front, pretty much the same guys that we just named off of their offensive line return on the defensive side of the ball. But then at linebacker, you add Jacob Runkle and Brody Simons to the mix, and those two guys are both about 185, 190 pounds as well, and they like to fly to the ball. They're a very fast team, and they're going to get after you defensively. Tanner Stern plays a very good cornerback position, and then you have Al Wender back there as well. Haverland does a great job at defensive end. Like you said, at tight end, he's got that big body frame. On the defensive end of the side of the ball, he's very, very fast. Is 6'5", 210, 215-ish. So he definitely has a presence.
Yeah, I think when you look at this matchup, the thing that has me excited when you look at Rock Ridge and Eastland Pro City playing this afternoon is, to me, it really seems like an evenly matched game that feels like a toss-up, where I know sometimes in the first round you don't really get that, but I think today it's going to be a game that comes down to the wire. So is that kind of the read you have, two pretty evenly matched teams in this one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everything that, at least that I've heard of Rock Ridge this year, is Cullen Schweigen. And, you know, looking at some of the numbers I've seen from him, he definitely stands the test. I know defensively they got some guys. So I think size-wise and physicality, this game's going to be a game that matches up two teams pretty equally. And I feel that whoever wins this game has a great shot of making a much deeper run into the playoffs. You know, I think that they could definitely be on a run normal.
Yeah, I'm curious to ask you, because you mentioned Rock Ridge's quarterback Cullen Schweigen there. Now, when you look at kind of the matchups that Eastland Pearl City has had in the NUIC, I mean, how many teams are like heavy pass teams? Because I know kind of just from the outside, kind of you hear a lot about, you know, the big physical run first teams in the NUIC. So, I mean, what's kind of the passing defense look like? Who are some of the teams that they've had to defend the pass against this year?
So really the biggest teams that they've had to play against in the past game are Dupec and Fulton. They played them in back-to-back weeks as well. Like I stated, they lost to Dupec 36-8, and then they beat Fulton 46-22. Dupec has quarterback Cooper Hoffman, which is probably the closest thing to what Cullen Schweigen is as far as pass to run options. I mean, Fulton's quarterback in I know his name.
Anyway. Dom Kramer, right?
Yes.
That's my uncle, the coach of the Steamers.
Yeah, I mean, Dom did a great job. He just didn't have the supporting cast that Cooper has that I feel that would replicate what Cullen Schweigen has with Rock Ridge.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned earlier, you know, the 2A draw for this 8-9 game. Now the winner plays into top-seeded Farmington, who plays Deer Creek Mackinac today in the first round as well. And I think when you look at the north half of the 2A bracket, we talked about this a lot last week too, with, you know, Moroa Forsyth going south this year and then Wilmington getting bumped to 3A, it kind of feels like to me that north half is really wide open. So even though it's a tough matchup for both teams, I think you could say, in the first round, I mean, like you alluded to, it feels like there is a path for a postseason run for both of these teams if they can get past the other one here today.
Yeah, I mean, we can't dismiss the fact that they are going to have the number one seed most likely in Farmington coming up in round two. But I definitely do like the fact that whoever wins this game, I feel, has a pretty good path. I mean, they're going to have to play the winner of Farmington DMAC, which everybody expects to be Farmington. And then we already saw that the quarterfinal matchup last night came to fruition. It's going to be the winner of Elmwood Brimfield over Dwight Gardner South Wilmington. So I feel that either one of these teams can match up with any one of those teams any day of the week. So I do like their odds of being able to make that deep run.
All right, and then just kind of looking around the rest of the 2A field, I think maybe the biggest game last night was Tri-Valley getting a nice win over Bloomington Central Catholic in the first round. So when you look at kind of the games on the docket today and 2A specifically, I mean, what are kind of some of the bigger games you think?
I'm intrigued by the Chicago Christian Illini West. Chicago Christian comes out of that Chicagoland Christian Conference. We saw Marquette put up a big win last night over Rushville Industry, so they're in that same conference. I believe that's going to go by way of Chicago Christian pretty heavily, but I'm just curious to see how it all plays out. Farmington and DMAC, you know, DMAC comes out of the Heart of Illinois Conference. They've had a lot of success here in the 2A playoffs since, you know, 2015 when they ran off four consecutive state titles. We've seen Tri-Valley back in the state championship game since then. They'll be battle tested, and, you know, I could expect to see that one to be a little closer, but I think Farmington is definitely the heavy favorite there. Outside of that, you know, there's really not a lot of games that stand out to me the most in Class 1A. Class 2A. They're pretty much all going by what the Vegas bettors call chalk, right? I think the guys up front are going to be the ones that the higher seed definitely should win the day. Down in the southern bracket, you know, Arthur Lovington at Winhammon plays North Mac. That could be interesting. And then Chester Westville has a little bit of my intrigue. I feel Chester's the better team there. I've heard that Westville's down a little bit, but we're able to get into the playoffs at 6-3. So we'll see how that goes. But the rest of it, you know, I think you'll see one upset down south. I think Carmi White County will pull up 8 upsets there, which really to me isn't a big surprise, as the 8th seed is Warrensburg Latham.
And then off the top, we mentioned last night you were at the Byron Prairie Central game. So where in the world is Kyle Campmeyer going on Saturday in round one today?
Well, today I'm going to meet up with a friend who is the defensive coordinator for Clifton Central. So we are heading to Lena to watch Lena Winslow play Clifton Central. Not expecting it to be much of a game, but we'll definitely have somebody on the sidelines in Taylor Ridge for the Rock Ridge EPC game. So we'll be getting live updates there. But myself, I will be in Lena today.
Awesome. Sounds good. We'll be at the Rock Ridge Eastland Pearl City game as well, of course, on WRMJ at 2 o'clock kickoff, pregame coverage at 1. That's Kyle Campmeyer with NUICFootball.com joining us on Sportsline this morning. Kyle, appreciate you taking some time today, and enjoy the 2024 playoffs, sir.
Thanks, Ty. I appreciate it. We're in the best 5 weeks of the year. It's always fun.
Thanks a lot, Kyle. And we're back with more on WRMJ after this.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? If you need new footwear or it's the perfect gift for someone on your list, 614 Zero Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks. For just hanging out, Hey Dude, and Birkenstock. And even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. The best gift of all is a 614 Zero Run gift card. Never worry about getting the wrong shoe or style. 614 Zero Run, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. We head to round one of the 2024 IHSA High School Football Playoff, celebrating 50 years of the high school football playoffs in Illinois. And I think really one of the most intriguing games in 2A is an 8 seed against the 9 seed in the north half of the bracket. That's the Rockridge Rockets hosting Eastland Pearl City. Rockridge out of the track, and of course, Eastland Pearl City plays in the NUIC. And this, by the way, is the third meeting between these two teams in the postseason, as Eastland Pearl City won the first meeting 44-21 back in 2014, that game at Rockridge. And then in 2016, Rockets go up to Eastland Pearl City and win 42-13, so comparable scores there. And you look at these two teams heading into today's game, Eastland Pearl City 7-2, Rockridge 7-2. Brian Roush, this looks like a toss-up today.
It sure does. I mean, you talk about closely matched 9-8, two teams at 7-2, and you know, quality losses in those two losses. Yeah, EPC Rockridge is going to be a fantastic opening round game.
Now, how good did you think the NUIC was this year across the board?
You know, I think it was pretty darn solid this year. Obviously, the two top guns are still Dupec and Lee Wynn, and those are the two losses for EPC. But EPC was pretty solid. I think the only team that really struggled was Dakota. But then, unfortunately, you know, with a league like this, the other teams just kind of beat up on each other, so you didn't have a lot of playoff qualifiers because, you know, those losses have to come from somewhere.
Yeah, and you look at you mentioned the measuring stick games. They fall to Dupec 36-8 in week two. Dupec, a 3A playoff team. Of course, Lee Wynn, their proud tradition. They beat Eastland Pearl City 35-18 in week seven. It looks like kind of the biggest win for Eastland Pearl City came in week five, beating Stockton 34-8. Tell us a little bit about this Eastland Pearl City team.
Well, they play a very physical style of football. They don't really like to throw the ball offensively. They can. A lot's going to depend on the health of their quarterback, Adam Awander, who was banged up late in the season. Also, Draven Zier, their running back. But yeah, they like to run the football. You talk about that Stockton game. I had the privilege of doing that one, and they just dominated a very good Stockton team that night. And I was telling you last week about Will Burchin, the junior linebacker. Coach McNutt says he's one of the best players he's ever coached. He said he's just so fundamentally sound. And here's a kid that stepped out there as a freshman a couple of years ago, and he looked like a senior as a freshman, and now he's just a junior dominating at the linebacker position.
Yeah, I know his tackle statistics are very impressive. And this is a program that's coming off a 3-6 campaign in 2023. Were the expectations, you know, pretty high coming into 2024? A lot of kids back from that team last year?
Yes, I think the expectations were quite high just because of all the underclassmen that have been contributing over the last couple of years. And I'm also going to say I think the pressure was on because of the EPC program and its success over the years. When you have some down years, people start to get a little impatient. But I tell you what, you know, this team, I think, really kind of lived up to those early season expectations. And those two losses are great losses, and they were close games for a while, for a half or beyond. So, yeah, I think they've lived up to their billing.
And when you look at Rock Ridge, I think the one thing for them this year is that the regular season was winding down. They wanted to get a quality win over a quality opponent. They had two chances going into week eight against Monmouth Roseville, who was ranked fifth in 3A at the time, but they had lost to Princeton in week two, 27-18, and then they lost the overtime game in Sterling at Roscoe Eads Stadium to Newman Central Catholic. That was week five, 15-7. So that they really needed kind of a quality win late in the year, and they got that in week eight against Monmouth Roseville on the road, 28-18. And I think they needed that, and it was weird going into the season for Rock Ridge, you know, kind of talking about what was 2024 going to look like, because they lost a lot of good players from last year, but they also had some very good players coming back, so they had to fill in some pieces. And then one of their top defensive players, potentially an all-state candidate, one of their linebackers, and they started him at offensive line, he tore his ACL in week two against Princeton, so they lost him for the season and had to reconfigure their offensive line again. But they have a tremendously talented sophomore quarterback who has over 2,000 multi-purpose yards rushing and throwing, and they have a pretty good group of receivers where they get the ball to. They've been trying to establish the run game, and they've done that a little bit better as the season has progressed. And then defensively, I think they've kind of hung their hat on you know, how well they've played defensively. They kind of rotate between a three-man and a four-man front. So I like this matchup today. I think a very intriguing matchup between two teams that have played a quality schedule and are coming out of really good leagues. And it was interesting, Brian, too, the other thing, at least when I saw this pairing come out, you know, last Saturday, the weather at the time was looking a little bit iffy, but it looks like it's going to be a pretty good day Saturday weather-wise, with temperatures around 60. I don't think wind or rain that much is in the forecast. So weather shouldn't be a factor. So that's not going to have a say in this game. So basically, like we say, it's an 8 seed against a 9 team, and it should shake out to be a pretty good game.
Yeah, it sure should. And you talked about the weather. I believe people are still talking about the last two matchups, because I think maybe it snowed both times. I know in 2014 it was very cold and snowy on that Saturday when they played. So maybe they'll catch a break this time around.
Yeah, it looks like sunny skies, maybe a high around 60 for Saturday. Eastland Pearl City and Rock Ridge. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Toledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Who doesn't love new kicks? If you need new footwear or it's the perfect gift for someone on your list, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks. For just hanging out, Hey Dude, and Birkenstock. And even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. The best gift of all is a 6140 Run gift card. Never worry about getting the wrong shoe or style. 6140 Run, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
All right, I wish I could do that Dale Jones auctioneer call that he does on that spot.
Yeah, as great,
we broadcast from the Dale Jones auctioneer studio on the Saturday leading up to 10 o'clock in Illini football, playing down at Memorial Stadium against P.J. Fleck and the Gophers of Minnesota. Most people know P.J. Fleck, an Illinois kid, grew up in Kane County, went to Maple Park Caneland High School. Go Illinois, but I think a trap game today. I think the Gophers are going to win like 27-24 over the Illini.
You fell off the bandwagon fast.
I just think it's kind of an
emotional. Eric Hutchins and I, we were talking about the Illini last night on the way to and then on the way from Cambridge. That's basically what our conversation was about. And we both think they're going to finish 10-2. We think they're going 4-0 to finish the regular season.
All right, and back to eight-man football. Let's see. Ridgewood will play the winner of Milledgeville. Who is that?
South Beloit.
And
Milledgeville's a very heavy favorite in that game. And so if they do win, Ridgewood would be at home again next weekend.
And that should be a pretty good matchup, I think.
Yep, because two teams in the top four in the final rankings.
Yeah, because just like basically 1A football runs through kind of the NUIC. You don't call those teams NUIC in the eight-man, but most of those teams are formally in the eight-man, are in the NUIC ranks before going to eight-man football. I think a great matchup today. Got to get off to a good start, get an early lead, stop the run game early. I worry about if they establish that fullback. That's when things can go a little bit haywire defensively.
I think that's the thing for Rock Ridge. The key, like you said, is get off to a good start. If you make Eastland Pearl City play from behind, teams like that don't like to play from behind. They're not a team that likes to pass it. They like to keep it on the ground. And it's the same thing on the other side of the coin. If you fall behind, it gets challenging to come from behind the later it gets, just because of how they are able to control the line of scrimmage and control the clock and control the ball. With, you know, when you run the ball like that, every first down is basically 2 minutes, and that really starts to shorten the game when you're trailing, especially in the second half. So I agree, big key today, get out to a lead, score first, and play in front. Make them try to get out of the I formation, make them try to throw it. It's not something they really want to do.
I was going to ask you, did you ask them why there's a Z at the end of the Wildcats? Is there a reason for that?
I never did. I should have asked Coach McNutt that. No, he's not from Eastland or Pearl City, though. He went to Warren, he said.
Who now co-ops with a team in Wisconsin and plays in the Wisconsin playoffs.
He said, when I asked him where he went to school, he said, I went to Warren in Joe Davies County. That's how he described it to me.
All right. Far northwest corner of Illinois. All right, so 1 o'clock broadcast for our Rock Ridge Rocket coverage. We'll hear from Coach McNutt, the head coach of Eastland Pearl City, of course, Coach Graves as well, and then Monty Smith and Ty Taylor and myself on the broadcast today. Full pre- and post-game and scores and everything you want to know about high school football, but we're afraid to ask, and we've been doing this since 1979 with our local schools, and we'll continue to carry it forward. Going to be a little weird not hearing a John Hoshite call. First time ever in the history of this station, John Hoshite's not going to be on a playoff broadcast, right?
And so, like we said,
he'll be listening,
for the first time in, 28 years, the Aledo Mercer County program not playing, which is still so strange. But yeah, the Rockets, so 2 o'clock kickoff, pregame coverage at 1 for Rock Ridge and Eastland Pearl City. Both teams at 7-2. And I know, like you said, we'll talk to both Coach McNutt and Coach Graves in the pregame. We'll also talk with both head coaches at halftime too, which I think is always neat to be able to do that in, you know, just a small school high school football broadcast. I think it adds quite a bit to it. So we're looking forward to that. We've got about 20 seconds before we got to get to Illini football. Anything else you want to mention before we sign off and get ready to pack up and head over to Edgington? 10 seconds.
I'm going to say Rockets 28 and EPC 20.
I say 28-26. The difference is Bodie Morales on the PAT. Thanks for listening to Sportsline on WRMJ.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 614-0 Running Galesburg. your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots, and by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.